What would we get if we threw all the books in the ocean?
I don't know. What?
A tidal wave.
It's time for the Children's Hour. This is 89.9 KUNM and KUNM.org, live and local from the universe of New Mexico.
Allez, allez, allons à chaque coup de rame. Prends la force dans la taille et dans les talons. Allez, allez, allons à chaque coup de pioche. Prends la force, c'est fastoche de ma chanson, de ma chanson. Allez, allez, allons, allons. Allez,
allez, allez, allons. À chaque coup de sabre, prends l'écorce des canailles. Prends l'écorce des canailles. Allez, allez, allons. À chaque coup de cloche, prends la crasse, le cri des mioches. Prends la crasse, le cri des mioches. Et des carillons. Allez.
Won a huge competition in France last year for the best original song written by a girl named Camille. And what that means is go, go, go. And we're playing that in honor of France and all our French friends out there. Good morning. This is the Children's Hour, and I'm Katie Stone. I'm so happy to be with you and all my buddies here in the studio, including my right-hand man, Noah.
Hello, Katie.
Hello, Noah. Good to see you. And hey, Julia.
Oh, hi, Katie. So I brought some friends. First, I have my friend. We had a sleepover last night. So
oh, fun.
I have my friend, Kaya.
Hello.
Hi, Kaya. And who else did you bring?
Then I also have my friend, Leela.
Hi.
Hi, Leela.
And then here's my friend, Sienna.
Hi, Sienna. Oh, so great you're here. And, of course, Miss Liliana is here. Where's your microphone, Liliana? Hi, Liliana.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm so happy you all are here. Girls, Kaya, et cetera, girls, you're sisters, aren't you? Yes?
Yeah.
Yes?
They're sisters, yeah.
Yes. Tell us a little bit. You live in the coolest house. I know you probably think, oh, well, I live there. It's not that cool. But your house is pretty neat. It's in Albuquerque, way up in the mountains, but you're totally solar, totally off-grid, right? Do you know about this?
Yes.
So how do you produce all your electricity and stuff?
Well, it's basically just solar. We don't have that much power at night.
because our batteries aren't working.
Oh.
But, yeah, we have power in the day.
That's so cool. Wow, neat. Well, thank you for being up here, and thank you, Julia, for bringing them.
You're welcome.
You all, we have a very exciting show for you. There is a contest for kids that we're going to be telling you all about finding a bad ad. That's pretty easy to find. Have you seen bad ads in your life?
Plenty of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We'll be talking more about what makes a bad ad and how you can find a bad. And it's a contest where you find a bad ad and try to make it better. But we're going to learn all about that from our friend Jessica at the Media Literacy Project. And then also you'll see here in the studio is one of my dear friends, Senator Jerry Ortiz-Pino. And he's going to come on in just a minute, and he's going to talk with us about how all of you can get involved in the state legislature, which is about to start. It's basically how we make the laws of our state, and it's our state government, and kids can be a part of that process. And Senator Ortiz-Pino, affectionately known as Jerry's going to tell us all about that in just a few minutes. And we're just so happy you're with us. This is the Children's Hour right here on KUNM. Don't touch that dial. This is Pascal Perisseau.
Je voudrais être extraordinaire. Je voudrais être extraordinaire. Je voudrais être extraordinaire. Je voudrais être extraordinaire. Je ne veux pas être un simple mammifère. D'ailleurs, j'aurais trop de mal à m'y faire. Je voudrais être extraordinaire. Je voudrais être extraordinaire. Et la manière, je voudrais être extraordinaire, même si ce n'est pas dans mon caractère. Je voudrais être extraordinaire pour qu'enfin on me considère, et pour qu'enfin tu me considères.
Pascal Perisseau from a CD called Putumayo, the French Collection for Kids, a great CD out there in the land of Putumayo collections. You can always find those at places like La Montanita Co-op has the Putumayo collections. And you are tuned to the Children's Hour right now on KUNM. So delighted to be in the studio once again with my friend Jessica Collins from the Media Literacy Project. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning.
So great you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you with us. And the Media Literacy Project, tell us just briefly, what do you do?
So how we define media literacy is the ability to access, analyze, and also create media. So that's what we help both youth and adults to be able to do, to think critically about all the media that they receive and to also make their own media messages.
I love that. I love that. So your contest you're having right now, the bad ad, What is this?
Yeah, we actually have two contests running right now for youth. We have the bad ad contest and the counter ad contest. And these are both really about creating your own media, both in written form and also creating your own ads. These are national contests for youth that we've run for many years, and it would be great to have winners this year from New Mexico.
Because this is a national contest?
It's a national contest.
Because you're a national organization, so your tools are available for anyone who goes online to medialiteracyproject.org. No matter where you are.
Right, yeah. So people access our tools even all over the world. We're locally based, so we do a lot of local organizing work, but we also do a lot of national work as well. Mm. So the bad ad contest, all you do is you find what you consider a bad ad in a magazine, not just any ad that you might find in print, but something that you feel like the message you don't agree with. Maybe you feel like they're selling a product that is unhealthy, something like that. And then you write an essay about how the ad could be better and why you think it's a bad ad. So that's the bad ad contest.
You know, does this have a limit in terms of how old you have to be to enter the bad ad contest?
Yes. It's for young people in grades 6 through 12. Mm-hmm. However, sometimes we will allow maybe fourth or fifth graders. Teachers have contacted us saying, I have fourth and fifth graders who can write just as good as middle school. Mm-hmm. With our approval, we'll allow them to submit into this contest as well. They just have to be enrolled. It could be in a school, an after-school program, a community organization. So it doesn't have to be necessarily through a school that they submit.
Oh, great. Homeschoolers, too?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, because we have some homeschoolers here in the room. So, okay.
Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah, and then we have the counter ad contest. And this one is really fun. So you find an ad. And then you can change it or alter it. So a lot of times people tell you not to talk back, right? You hear this? Don't talk back sometimes. Well, this is your chance to actually talk back, but you're talking back to the advertisement. So you can either, rearrange words or messages in an ad, using, just scissors and glue, or sometimes young people decide to alter it and put it into a program like Photoshop and then change the message from there to make it maybe more funny, more truthful.
I see. So is this mostly for print ads, or is this also if you find a bad ad on television?
It's print only for these two contests.
Okay, great.
Yes. And we have prizes for the winners and the runners-up.
Great. What are they?
Well, winners for both contests receive $200, and the runners-up will receive $100.
Wow. What an incentive. So girls in the studio, you said, oh, sure, I know a bad ad. Can you describe a bad ad that you've seen? Anybody? Julia, can you describe a bad ad that you've seen? I know I've seen really bad ads. Like, the ads that really bug me are the ones where women, like, you see them all the time in the newspaper, and they're advertising swimsuits or something, and the women are wearing hardly any clothes, and here it is, like, page 2 of the newspaper, and there's a half-naked woman, but they never show half-naked men. Never. What do you think? Have you seen bad ads? What have you seen that bugs you? Anything? Anything? They're pointing to each other. No? Yeah? How about you, Jessica? Can you give us any examples of what you've seen in the past?
Well, last year we had a counter ad contest winner that used a Kool-Aid ad. And with the Kool-Aid man on it, who's like the big pitcher of Kool-Aid, yeah. But pointing out that, how much sugar and calories are in it. So a lot of counter ads, and the student made it really funny, but at the same time was revealing some untold stories about, what really is in Kool-Aid.
Mm.
So a lot of times, there's humor that can be used both in your essay and in the counter ad. So that's one example there. We've had, young people deconstruct credit card ads and reveal the untold story of how people get into debt through credit cards.
Yeah, it seems like it's free money until you start finding out it's really like the interest rate is 20%. And
exactly.
Yikes. Wow. So easy enough to do. You find a bad ad, you write an essay about it, or you find a bad ad and you rearrange it and make it a good ad, right?
Right.
That sounds like a winning contest to me. And it's open to anyone who's in grades 6 and older, or maybe with exception if you're younger and can write a really great essay. For information about the bad ad contest, all you have to do is go to Media Literacy project.org. And then I have a question for you, Jessica. Can schools, like a teacher listening to this, can they get their students involved and the whole class do this? Have you ever had that happen where teachers tell about it and their class gets involved?
Yeah, absolutely. All the time. We have sometimes schools submit, you know, hundreds of entries. We also are available to do presentations and workshops in schools and also in other types of programs. So, teachers or anyone listening out there that wants more information can either go to our website, medialiteracyproject.org, or call us at 505-828-3129. And there's a link to both the bad ad and counter ad contest right now on our homepage.
That's fantastic. Jessica Collins is at the Media Literacy Project. And if you've never checked out their website, it's so worth it to help you understand how media is working you're being manipulated by media. And you're basically learning how you can tell when that's happening and then how you can take control of it. Because isn't it true, Jessica? Because once you know, like I remember I learned years ago, we had your Bob from the Media Literacy Project many, many years ago. And he was saying, watch for product placement in movies. And that I never forgot that he told me that like 12 years ago. And now every time I watch a movie and I see, you know, a thing of Pepsi, I think, wow, they paid for that. They paid for that to be in this movie.
Right. So once things are pointed out to us and we start to see these patterns, we see them more and more. And thinking critically about all the messages that we receive, you know, makes us, we can think about, you know, what we buy, the decisions we make. It changes our ideas and our opinions. And sometimes young people say, you know, when we go into their classrooms that we ruined media for them because now they see all these different things when they watch, you know, reality television and advertisements that they never saw before. But that always makes us really proud in a way. I mean, we really love media at the same time. And, you know, it can be used as a tool to spread, you know, great ideas and great messages. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we need to be, critical thinkers.
I love it. The Media Literacy Project, their tools are available online to anyone at medialiteracyproject.org. Thank you so much, Jessica.
Thank you.
Singing for tomorrow's people. Come and join a celebration.
Fill your heart up with a song.
Singing for tomorrow's people. Be a part of the solution.
'Cause the world keeps turning around.
I feel that better days are coming. A new morning shines. I feel that better days are coming. And they're yours and mine.
Singing for tomorrow. Jubilation, happy faces fill the crowd.
Singing for tomorrow's people, making us a resolution.
Build it up and don't tear it down.
Don't tear it down.
I feel that better days are coming. A new morning shines.
Thank you. Mars, we should keep this planet green. Gaia, she knows. Gaia, she knows. She's made it her task to show everyone our life is in harmony under the sun. Gaia, she knows. Gaia, she knows.
From a 2014 release called Year Round Sounds, that's the Hip Waiters, and Gaia She Knows is the name of that song. Brady Reimer and the Little Band That Could from their Grammy-nominated CD, Just Say Hi. That's a 2014 release as well. That was Tomorrow's People. And speaking of Tomorrow's People, our senator from District 12 in Albuquerque, Senator Jerry Ortiz Pino. He's working on issues for Tomorrow's People. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Good morning, Katie.
I'm so happy you're here. You have been a state senator for a while now.
10 years.
That's great.
I just finished 10th year.
And this is the state senator. You're not in Congress in Washington. So let's just start at the basics, the structure of government.
Sure. Well, we have two branches or two houses of the legislative branch in New Mexico, the Senate and the House. And there are 70 House members and 42 senators. Our districts overlap. So, mm-hmm. so there are four different House of Representatives members in Bernalillo County whose district overlaps with my own. Basically, I represent downtown Albuquerque and the surrounding older neighborhoods, the historic neighborhoods like Martinez Town and Varelas and some of those.
And when you represent a district, What does that mean exactly?
Well, it means those are the 50. Each Senate district has 50,000 people in it. So those are the people that elected me, mm-hmm. and so I pay real close attention to what they want. But beyond that, we all represent everybody in the state, whether they elected us or not. And so young people, particularly who don't have a chance to vote yet, mm-hmm. sometimes think that, well, you don't represent me because I didn't vote for you. But in fact, we do. And we try to take their issues and their concerns into account when we make decisions.
Yeah, you absolutely have always done a great job with kids and kids issues. And that's really fabulous. So kids, speaking of kids, I go up to the legislature a lot, and it's called the Roundhouse in Santa Fe, and it is open to the public pretty much year-round. Fabulous art exhibits mm-hmm. at the
some
Roundhouse.
Some of the best art in the state there. Some of the
If you go to the Roundhouse for nothing else but to see the architecture and the art, it's absolutely worth it. But even more exciting is during the legislative session. And can you explain what happens during a legislative session? What's going on? Why is it so busy up there?
Well, this year we meet for 60 days, 2 months. Last year and next year, we will only meet for 30 days, which is even more compacted and tightly scheduled. We will, during those 60 days, we will look in the Senate at about 1,000 Senate bills, and coming over from the House, probably 150 to 250 House bills that make it through their process. That's a lot of work to get done in 60 days. So we break things up into committees, and there are six major committees in the Senate. I chair one of those, Public Affairs. That's where all the issues having to do with health care or public employment, public welfare, public issues like behavioral health issues like that, public safety.
So there's lots of committees, and every senator or representative is assigned to different committees.
Committees, that's
some
right.
on the House side, some on the Senate side.
Exactly. And then
That get proposed have to get through that committee process.
If a bill has to do with those topics, it has to come to our committee first. Mm. Then it probably will go to a second committee. And then it comes to the floor. So it's a slow sifting. It's kind of like you're screening sand or something, and you mm-hmm. start with you let everything through at first, and then progressively you're getting tighter and tighter so that what comes through should be very fine at the end.
Mm.
And that's the theory, at least. Doesn't always work that way, mm-hmm. but it'll take us 4 to 6 weeks before we get any bills through that process, because it's such a
But
slow,
wait, you only have
tedious.
A 60-day session, and I'm
so
doing
everything
some math
is done,
in my head
Everything
here.
Is done in the last 2 weeks, basically.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, all those final decisions are made at the end.
Wow. And, well, so I see kids when I'm up at the legislature. I see kids from this cool organization called Wild Friends of New Mexico. I see kids, and we'll talk a little bit more about them. How come there's kids up there? What are the kids up there doing?
Well, they do everything. A lot of them are just there to watch and to learn. They come with their class or their school group or their scout troop and their FFA, Future Farmers of America group. We get a lot of youth from rural communities who spend the whole day up there. Sometimes they'll spend 2 or 3 days there.
And what are they doing?
They're learning. They may be taking a civics class mm-hmm. or a government class, and they're learning how laws are made and what their responsibilities as citizens are, because we have responsibilities as citizens.
Well, what are our responsibilities as citizens
laws? You know, the main one is to vote and to let the people that we put in office know what we think they should be doing, because if we don't do that, the whole thing bogs down. The whole process is based on the idea that the people that vote for us are going to tell us what they want us to do. If they don't, there'll be lots of other people telling us what they would like us to do.
And it's worth mentioning that the other people who will be telling you what to do, odds, dimes to donuts, are paid lobbyists.
There will be an army of paid lobbyists up there. You can usually recognize the paid lobbyists because they dress better than the legislators.
They have more money.
They have more leisure time than the legislators. They frequently, will be, sending out invitations to events like dinners or lunches or breakfasts that they will be sponsoring. And it's all to have an opportunity to tell us how they want us to vote.
Oh.
So it's great when kids come up because if they have some issue that they want to talk about, we usually enjoy talking to the young people because we'll get a perspective that the paid lobbyists don't give us.
Well, and that goes for just citizens, too, who come up who talk to you, too, about things. Senator Ortiz Pino, can you hang on for just a minute?
Sure.
Here? Julia, you're listening to the Children's Hour here on KUNM, and Julia's got us at the bottom of the hour here. Take it away, Julia.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. This is 89.9 KUNM and KUNM.org, live and local from the University of New Mexico.
Tune in for an eclectic mix of Latin music every Monday night and Saturday afternoon. The Raices program features everything from Latin lounge, tango, and boleros to rock en español, Andean panpipes, and those rancheras you grew up with. Find your Raices Monday night and Saturday afternoon here on 89.9 KUNM.
You are listening to the Children's Hour. Stay with us today on KUNM. Raices today is being hosted by Henry Gonzalez, and one of my favorites, and he always produces a fabulous show. In the studio with us on the Children's Hour is our crew, of course, but also Senator Jerry Ortiz Pino from District 12 here in Albuquerque, and he's talking about kids up at the New Mexico Legislature. When does the legislative session start, Jerry?
January 20th. It's always the third Tuesday of January, and this year that's
so
January
weird, on
20th.
On a Tuesday, and then it ends on a Tuesday or Monday or
well,
something.
Well, this year, no, the 60-day sessions will end on a, this year I think it ends on a Saturday.
Do they count the weekends in those 60 days?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So do you work 7 days a week for 60 days?
Well, at first we don't, but by the last 3 or 4 weeks when we're making all the big decisions, we're working 7 days a week and late into the night.
Are you paid?
In New Mexico, we're not. We do get what's called a per diem, so that every day that we're actually there, we get $160 to cover your meals and hotel and any expenses you have.
So but, anyone up there doing your job or the jobs of the representatives really must have great hearts, because I know $160 a day probably sounds like a lot to kids out in the audience. But to the parents, they're like, wait a second, for 60 days, that's really not enough to live on.
Yeah, and of course, I'm retired. You know, I'm of an age when I was able to serve after I retired. But there are a lot of men and women up there who have businesses or practices, if they're lawyers or doctors or dentists or whatever. It makes it very difficult for us to attract a good cross-section of the state. I think one reason we have so few women and one reason we have so few young legislators is because they're trying to get their families established. They've got lots of other duties that make it very difficult to take 2 months off to go up there and work.
Do all states do it that way?
Oh, no. No, we're the last. I think we're actually the very last state. Maybe New Hampshire, which has like 600 representatives in their House of Representatives. They have the same thing, an unpaid legislature. But it's a very tiny state, and so they don't have to travel distances. They just live at home, and they come together a couple of times a week.
Wow.
We're the last ones that don't pay our legislators. We don't have staff either, which makes it a little awkward as
well. So you read all 1,000 of those bills?
Yeah, during the session, we'll have analysts that are hired, groups of analysts that help us. But you know, we don't have somebody to return calls or to do surveys
so
for us
like
or to send out
you
letters.
You might need help up at the legislature. Is that something that kids could do?
A lot of us use young people as volunteers, not just to run errands, but to, you know, return phone calls, to answer the telephone and to explain why we can't be on there in person because we may be in a committee meeting, to even sometimes to write letters back or thank you notes. That all is very time consuming, and you just don't have it during a 60-day session.
So kids can get involved at the legislature and volunteer for a day and work for their person that's their
right.
representative. Yes, Julia.
So how old do you have to be to volunteer?
Well, there's really no minimum age to be a volunteer. If you have the interest and you have the stamina, because it takes a lot of energy to be up there, you know, for several hours in those tiny rooms, we've had volunteers as young as 8, 10 years old come up and do some things. Obviously, if you're in high school, you can do a lot more. Mm-hmm. But
young people like Julia could come up and be something called a page.
Well,
tell us about that.
Yeah, we have a whole program at the legislature of pages. And you'll see if you go up to the legislature. Have you ever been up to the legislature?
Yeah.
So you've seen all those young people that sit in the front, right in front of the speaker's desk. Those are young people who are serving as pages for that day. And they're the ones that can run errands or, you know, take notes to somebody. And mostly they just have to sit and be very patient, hoping that somebody will ask them for some help. But if you'd like to be pages, that's a good way to find out what the legislature is like. And then they take you on a tour and they explain things to you. You don't have to spend the whole day doing that. It's usually only while we're on the floor that we have pages. And that's for two, three, four hours a day.
How do you become a page? If you wanted to become a page, are you a page for your own senator or own representative? Is that how it works?
That's the best way. I mean, there are groups that'll come up, you know, 12 or 14 kids at a time, and there'll be pages for everybody. But the best way would be to contact your local representative or senator and ask if you could be a page, and they'll make the arrangements.
And just to say to all the parents out there listening and the kids, to find out who your representatives are, you can go to NMLEGIS, NMLEGIS.gov. NMLEGIS.gov. And then there's a whole find your senator, find your representative link there, and you can figure out who your person is, give them a call. And being a page is fun. My son has been a page a few times and really enjoyed it. And, you know, you get a nice certificate for being a page. And also, you really do learn the process in so many ways. And you're asked to do a lot of things like make copies, go fetch coffee, go run errands, bring a note to this person. Because I noticed you're stuck on the floor when it's the time for being on the floor and not in committee. You're not supposed to leave the floor. So if you need to get a note to somebody in the House, for example, you're in the Senate, you'd have to actually send a page with that note.
Right.
You can't walk out and do that. You need somebody.
Yeah, and you may be waiting to hear a bill that you've sponsored, so you don't want to leave the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why pages are very important. There's another way that young people can get involved besides volunteering and being pages and being visitors, and that would be to actually testify on bills. And the reason I say that is because I've noticed that when young people testify, the legislators really do listen. It's rare. It's much more common that a lobbyist will be testifying or an expert in the field. But when a young person comes up and talks about, as Wild Friends do, about a bill that they're sponsoring or that they're supporting, they get a lot more attention from legislators, I think, than older people do.
That's really true. And when you go to nmlegis.gov, you can also see all the bills that have been proposed so far. Most bills have not been introduced yet. They'll be introduced in the first couple of days of the session. Yeah, they haven't been filed yet.
Yeah, we can introduce bills all the way up till the halfway point. So, you know, we're at, I think, number 150 in the Senate, but it'll go up over 1,000 this year.
Well, I wanted to let y'all know about Wild Friends of New Mexico, which is a pretty cool organization. If you're a teacher out there in listener land, it's too late this year to jump in on Wild Friends, but it is totally something that a school can do for next session. But they're to find out more about them, it's wildfriends.unm.edu. But what they're working on this year is an interesting bill, Senate Bill 82. It's already been pre-filed by Senator Howie Morales, who's out of Silver City. It bans the use of drones in hunting. And I guess the Wild Friends folks contacted me and they said the students voted on this topic when school started and have been working all fall to research the issues surrounding drones, learning about the legislature. And then they even helped draft the bill that was eventually pre-filed. They will be testifying. They will be talking to their legislators and others about this bill. And they will be testifying in all of the committee hearings. And that sounds pretty cool. They have 11 schools participating throughout the states in grades 4 through 12. If you have questions about Wild Friends or you'd like more information, you can go to wildfriends.unm.edu. That sounds pretty cool, Jerry. It's doing what you said, is testifying. But there's a lot of other bills that affect kids. Like, for example, our school funding bill is going to all the budget for the education department.
Lots of our mental health bills will have impact on young people. Yeah,
bills, too, that just might be in your personal area of interest.
That's right.
That could be something that really speaks to you.
Yeah, I think, you know, we probably will spend more time focusing on children. children's issues, youth issues this year than we have in the past, because so many things have been left hanging. Mm. Even something as simple as the lottery scholarship program. We thought we had a fix. It's not obviously perfect. And we're going to have to revisit that and come up with
a way.
And
so even young college-age folks that are taking advantage of that lottery scholarship program, you might want a heads up that—
High school kids, too, that are thinking, well, next year I'm going to go, how am I going to pay for college?
Yes.
And if there's no lottery scholarship, it makes it a lot more difficult.
To get involved in the New Mexico legislature, go to nmlegis.gov, look up your state senator or representative, and you can do that using your address. And, you know, another thing you can do, if you can't make it to Santa Fe, but a bill means a lot to you, you can call. And it does sometimes help if you watch the bill. If you look up a bill, you can see what committees it's going to go to. And it really helps to call those committee members. It's less than calling all 100 and some odd members of the community. But those committee members have a ton of power, because those 10 people on a committee can destroy or keep a bill. Yeah. So if you're interested in a particular bill and it's got 10 committee members and none of them are your representatives, that's okay. You can still call them and voice your opinion and leave a message. And Jerry, what would you say is the tipping point when you get calls about a bill? When do you notice that the community cares? How many phone calls do you need?
It's amazingly low. I mean, once you get three or four calls, you start seeing that as an avalanche. And one of my favorite stories is seeing a colleague change his vote. He had been against this bill, and we took a recess. We came back, and he voted for it. And I asked him later, you know, you're not supposed to ask why you'd voted. But I said, well, that was interesting that you switched. And he said, yeah, I had so many calls. I said, how many did you get? Well, there were four waiting for me when I got back to my office.
Wow.
So
four people. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
It's a tipping point that's pretty low. So New Mexico's got a low population. And so you in the listening audience can personally make a huge difference in what goes forth in the legislature. I want to thank you so much, Senator Jerry Ortiz-Pino from District 12 here in Albuquerque. Thank you for being with us on the Children's Hour.
Always enjoy coming in, Katie.
Thank you so much. Stick with us on the Children's Hour. More coming up. This is coming off of another Grammy-nominated CD called Through the Woods by the Okie Dokie Brothers.
In the Big Rock Candy Mountain, there's a land that's fair and bright, where the butterscotch grows on bushes and you can sleep out every night, where the boxcars all are empty and the sun shines every day, on the birds and the bees and the peppermint trees, the lemonade springs where the bluebird sings, in the Big Rock Candy Mountain. In the Big Rock Candy Mountain, all the bears have wooden legs, and the bulldogs all have rubber teeth, and the hens lay soft-boiled eggs. The farmer's trees are full of fruit, and the barns are full of hay. Oh, I'm bound to go where there ain't no snow, where the rain don't fall and the wind don't blow, in the Big Rock Candy Mountain. In the Big Rock Candy Mountain, you never change your socks, and the little streams of chocolate drops come a-trickling down the rocks. Your birthday comes round once a week, and it's summer all year long. There's a lake of stew and marmalade too, you can paddle all around it in a big canoe, in the Big Rock Candy Mountain. I'll see you all this coming fall. If it's free for one, then it's a free for all, in the Big Rock Candy Mountain.
I dig a big a little hole all day. I dig a big a little tunnel all the way. I dig a little bit and I dig a little more. To my little bitty digging, to my little bitty digging, to my little bitty bones is sore. I just heard the captain say, Trin, she's a coming one fine day, but this here mountain's in the way, and a tunnel must be dug. Now a tunnel must be dug. So I dig a bigger little eye, dig a bigger little eye, dig a bigger little eye. I dig a bigger little eye, dig a bigger little eye, dig a bigger little eye. The captain came to check our toil. The day
out in lantern oil. He said work faster, that their train is 50 miles away now, 50 miles away. So I dig a bigger little hole all day, I dig a bigger little tunnel all the way. I dig a little bit and I dig a little more. And I dig into my little bitty, dig into my little bitty, dig into my little bitty bones are sore. Now we're all breaking such a sweat, the train is getting closer yet. The captain just might lose his bet, it's 20 miles away now, 20 miles away. So I dig a bigger little lie, dig a bigger little lie, dig a bigger little lie. I dig a bigger little lie, dig a bigger little lie, dig a bigger little lie. Well, the captain's chewing his nails again, the smokestacks are coming around the bend. If we're not finished, that's the end, she's 5 miles away.
Chili Jam Band from the CD called Magic Bike. It was on this day, January 10th, 1863, when the London Underground, the world's oldest underground railway, opened on a track between Paddington and Farringdon, using gaslit wooden carriages hauled by steam locomotives carrying 38,000 people on that opening day. In London today, it's simply called the Underground, or the Tube, after the shape of the tunnels in which the trains run. And during both World War I and II, people used those underground tunnels as bomb shelters. But today, the Tube is a public rapid transit system with 270 stations covering 250 miles of track, and more than half of the underground is now above ground. There are many references to the London Underground in popular culture, but did you know that in Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, the shape of the scar on Dumbledore's left knee is the exact shape of the London Underground map? This is a song written in 1950 about how hard it was to find your way around on the London Underground. Happy birthday, London Underground.
Uh-huh. Never me again, go back on that underground train. Never me again, go back on that underground train. I took the train to Lancaster Gate, and the trouble that I met, I am going to relate. Well, friends, I had to call to a policeman when I lose my way in the tube station. So, boys, I'm going to walk the journey and my first misery is when I embark at Piccadilly. I went down below, I stand up in the crowd, don't know where to go. I decided to follow a young lady. Well, I nearly met with my destiny. That night was bad luck for Kitchener. I fall down on the escalator. So boys, I'm going to walk the journey and the party. Hello! Something happened worse than the fall. I jumped in the train, I sat down on a seat, relaxing the brain. I started to admire a young lady's face. To
the admiration across the place. To tell you the truth, I was in a mush when I find myself quite at Shepherd's Bush. So boys, I'm going to
walk into a unibody's misery, not take on a taxi. I'm going to walk into a unibody's misery.
And wait on another train to Lancaster Gate. Then a lady came up, directing me where about to stop. She said to find the place isn't hard at all. I will see the name written on the wall. But all I could look, friends, I couldn't see. They brought me back to Piccadilly. So boys, I'm on the
walk,
hitchhike down west, but I wanna be a folk singer and I try to do my best. But it's hard when I never ramble. I don't gamble, drink a Negro wine. I wear cufflinks on my shirt sometimes. I don't mind if my shoes shine. Never been a Colorado or seen Montana's blue, blue guy. Never been a Shenandoah or got a Rocky Mountain high. Born and raised in Jersey, lived in this suburban home, but always taking daddy's station wagon if I ever got the courage to roam. Never been to Austin or seen those Frisco lights. I never been to Denver, was always afraid of heights. I never been down to Nashville or Memphis, Tennessee. But it won't be long before they play my song, the WLND.
Today, it's the Winter Bird and Bat Festival at the Rio Grande Nature Center, 2901 Candelaria Avenue, Northwest in Albuquerque. It's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. There'll be speakers, guided bird and nature walks, live birds and bats, and activities for children. The New Mexico Museum of Natural History is opening up their registration for prehistoric preschool. It's a family program for kids ages 3 to 5 and their grown-ups. And families can choose Thursday, Friday, Saturday mornings or afternoons. It's hands-on science classes that meet every other week. Scholarships are available. You can register online at nmnaturalhistory.org/preschool. Hansel and Gretel, the opera in Santa Fe at the Scottish Rite Temple, is today and tomorrow at 2 p.m., but these matinees are completely ticketed to capacity, so they can't take any more reservations by phone, but if you show up, standby tickets will be available at the door. You better get your Pokemon costume on. It's Comic-Con at the Albuquerque Convention Center today and tomorrow. Doors open in just a few minutes at 10 a.m. Special guest William Shatner from Star Trek will be there. Go to albuquerquecomiccon.com for tickets and a complete schedule. This weekend, Tim Burton fans can see several of his films at the Chemo Theater. Tonight at 6 and 8:30, Beetlejuice. And tomorrow at 2 p.m., Edward Scissorhands will screen. These are ticket-free events, and there will be Tim Burton films next weekend as well. Call 311 in Albuquerque for more information. And the New Mexico Philharmonic will play Vivaldi's classic Seasons, along with selections from Barber and Grieg. David Falberg is featured as a soloist and a conductor. This is all happening at the National Hispanic Cultural Center tomorrow at 2 p.m.
It's time for the KUNM Kids Birthday Club. Happy birthday to everyone whose birthday is today. Happy birthday to Siobhan Story Newell from Corrales, New Mexico, turning 8 years old on Monday. We're sending Siobhan a package with presents from us in the mail just for being a KUNM Kids Birthday Club member. Joining is easy. Email kunmkids@kunm.org with your name, birthday, and mailing address. We'll give you a birthday greeting card on the air and send you a present.
And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. We're at KUNM Kids, all one word. Our playlists are posted at KUNM.org under the Children's Hour page, where you'll also find our podcasts and lots more information. Folk Roots is coming up next with Ron Hale. That will be followed by Women's Focus at Noon. You are tuned to KUNM, broadcasting live from the University of New Mexico, here on the top of Oñate Hall. Stick with us. This is the Children's Hour. We'll see you next week.
Saved the world in the movies. So naturally, there's folks who think I must know what to do. But just because you've seen me on your TV doesn't mean I'm any more enlightened than you.
And while there's a part of me and that guy you've seen up there on that screen, I am so much more, and I wish I knew the things you think I do. I would change this world for sure. But I eat and sleep and breathe and bleed and feel. Sorry to disappoint you, but I'm real.
I'd love to help the world and all its problems. But I'm an entertainer, and that's all. So the next time there's an asteroid or a natural disaster, I'm flattered that you thought of me, but I'm not the one to call.
And while there's a part of me and that guy you've seen up there on that screen, I am so much more, and I wish I knew the things you think I do. I would change this world for sure. But I eat and sleep and breathe and bleed and feel. Sorry to disappoint you, but I'm real.
There's a part of me in that guy you've seen up there on that screen. I am so much more.
And I wish,
and I wish I knew
the things you think I do. I would change
this world
for sure.
But I eat
but
and
I
sleep
and breathe and
bleed
and feel.
Sorry to disappoint you.